Welcome to Next Day Prep. What we are watching tomorrow. Big day for the markets. S&P 500 back over a key level, right?
It certainly is. The S&P 500 reclaimed that crucial 6,000 mark, largely thanks to a May employment report that, frankly, was better than feared and good enough to keep the growth narrative alive.
And the Treasury market definitely felt that. Yields shot up?
They did. The two-year yield jumped 14 basis points to 4.04%. And the 10-year was up 12 basis points to 4.51%, settled right at their highs for the day. No regrouping there.
So what's this mean for the Fed? Those rate cut hopes must be dwindling a bit.
Precisely. The futures market is now pricing in only a 16.5% chance of a cut in July, down from over 31% just yesterday. And for September, it's tapered to about 60% from nearly 74%.
Got it. And the dollar reacted as you'd expect with higher rates?
Yep, the U.S. dollar index climbed 0.5% to 99.20. Strong data, higher rates, stronger dollar. Classic playbook.
So the overall market, broad strength then? I saw all S&P sectors finished in the green.
That's right. Leading the charge were energy, up a solid 2%. Communication services close behind at 1.9%. Then consumer discretionary at 1.6%. And financials also strong, up 1.2%. Even the micro caps and small caps did better, showing some risk on appetite.
Interesting, though total volume was a bit on the lighter side, wasn't it?
It was. Lower than average on both the NYSE and NASDAQ. So participation wasn't massive, but the direction was clear. Year to date, the S&P 500 is up 2.0%, and the NASDAQ is up 1.1%.
Let's talk about the indices themselves. SPY and QQQ. What are the charts telling us there?
Both SPY and QQQ are showing a bit of consolidation. SPY had a slight downward drift recently, but there was a significant volume spike, suggesting strong buying activity around that $598.91 to $599.85 zone. It's been trading near $599.60, lacking clear directional power for now. Sentiment is a bit uncertain, but leaning cautiously optimistic.
And Q? Q? Q similar?
Very similar. Consolidation around the $530 level for QQQ. Volume spikes in earlier sessions point to accumulation near lows of $529.63. Buyers are stepping in, but there's a lack of strong momentum, kind of a wait-and-see approach. VXX, the volatility index, has been pretty stable, no major spikes, which implies a general sense of calm, maybe even a little complacency despite these minor fluctuations.
So, key levels we need to be watching for SPY and QQQ?
For SPY, that $598 area is key support, where we've seen significant buying. Resistance is right around $600. These are pivotal. For QQQ, support is near $529, with notable pressure capping at around $531. These levels will really dictate the short-term direction.
What about specific sectors? Any clear leadership or rotation happening?
Materials and real estate saw some volume activity, suggesting interest but not definitive leadership. Utilities also had a volume spike, which could indicate some defensive positioning. But overall, sectors are displaying range-bound behavior with minor rotations. No clear sectoral dominance right now.
Okay, so the employment report was the big catalyst. Dig a bit deeper into those numbers for us.
Sure. Non-farm payrolls came in slightly ahead of expectations. The unemployment rate held steady at a low 4.2%. And, importantly, average hourly earnings rose 0.4%, which is a decent 3.9% year-over-year growth rate.
So the labor market is still looking pretty solid then?
Exactly. This is hard economic data suggesting the economy is still on solid footing despite market volatility and tariff uncertainties. The key takeaway is that low unemployment combined with higher than expected wage growth should keep consumer spending and the economy on a growth trajectory. Good for earnings prospects, even if it keeps the Fed on hold for rate cuts.
And consumer credit numbers also look strong.
They did. Consumer credit increased by $17.9 billion in April, much higher than the $10.3 billion consensus. Both revolving credit, up $7.7 billion, and non-revolving credit, up $10.2 billion, showed healthy increases.
Any other macro headlines moving the needle? I heard some noise about U.S.-China trade talks.
Yes. Top U.S. trade representatives are set to meet with their Chinese counterparts in London on Monday regarding the trade deal. The market seemed to take this news in stride, finishing a bit lower from when the announcement was made, but importantly, it held above that S&P 6000 level.
And Elon Musk was in the news again, as usual.
He was. He posted on X that the Trump tariffs will cause a recession in the second half of this year. There were also reports about White House aides looking to have a call with him to defuse his feud with the president, though later it was reported the president isn't interested in a call right now.
Okay, let's shift to earnings. Some big movers there, particularly on the downside. Lululemon took a massive hit, down almost 20%.
Oof, yeah. Lulu got clobbered. They beat Q1 EPS with $2.60, but their Q2 EPS guidance of $2.85 to $2.90 was way below what analysts were expecting. They also trimmed their full-year fiscal 26 EPS outlook to $14.58 to $14.78.
What was the main drag? Just guidance?
It was a combination. Disappointing 1% comparable sales growth and, critically, intensifying concerns over tariff-related earnings pressure. They mentioned increased tariffs on imports from China and Mexico are expected to raise costs and compress margins.
But their gross margin actually expanded, didn't it?
It did, by 60 basis points to 58.3%, which was a bright spot. But that's being offset by those tariff headwinds, foreign exchange pressures, deleverage from fixed costs due to slower sales, and just general macroeconomic uncertainty. Consumers are being cautious, especially in the U.S., where traffic declines have persisted.
How bad was it in the Americas?
Comparable sales in the Americas, their largest market, declined 2% or 1% on a constant dollar basis. That follows flat comps in the fourth quarter, so continued weakness there. Even international growth slowed significantly, though China still has potential.
Are they doing anything to combat this?
They've restructured their product team and are focusing on refreshing product lines. They also mentioned they'll introduce some strategic price increases on select products to partially offset those tariff costs. But it looks like a challenging road ahead in the near term.
And DocuSign also had a rough day, down 19%.
Another one hit hard after earnings. Docu beat on Q1 earnings per share and revenue, but their Q1 billings were below prior guidance. They did guide Q2 and full year 26 revenue above consensus, but they lowered their full year 26 billings guidance, and that's what spooked investors. They did increase their share buyback authorization by $1 billion, though.
On the flip side, Tesla rebounded a bit, up almost 4%.
TSLA did, bouncing back from Thursday's drubbing. That was initially on reports of the White House call, but it held most of those gains even after the clarification.
Any other earnings standouts? Broadcom or Rubrik?
Yes, Broadcom. AVGO beat by a penny. Revenues in line. AI revenue in line. And importantly, guided Q3 revenues above consensus. That got a lot of positive attention, with about 11 upgrades noted. Rubrik, RBRK, also had a strong report, beating on EPS and revenue, and guiding future EPS and revenue above consensus. That garnered around 10 upgrades.
Good to see some strength there. What about earnings to watch for the week ahead?
Looking ahead, Monday we have Casey's General Stores, Casey, after the close. Tuesday before the open, ASO, CNM, SJM, UNFI, and then after hours, Play, GameStop GME, GTLB, and Stitch Fix, SFX. Wednesday brings Chewy, CHWY pre-market, and then Oracle, ORCL, after the bell. That's a big one to watch for continuation ideas. Thursday, Dave & Buster's Love pre-market, and Adobe ADBE, and RH after hours.
All right, let's get into some actionable ideas. What are you seeing in terms of continuation breakouts?
The biotech sector is showing some interesting action. URGN, Eurogen Pharma, has seen a recent volume surge. Key support levels are around $7.25 and $7.50. Resistance is at $8.16 and then $8.30. If it can hold above $7.50, a move towards $8.16 and potentially $8.30 looks possible with sustained volume. A stop could be placed just below $7.25.
Any others in biotech or tech that look like continuations?
PHAT, Phathom Pharmaceuticals, is another volatile name in biotech that could attract speculative buys. ZS, Zscaler, in tech, has been trading steadily near its high potentials. And as mentioned, ORCL, Oracle, is one to watch for continuation post-earnings if it reports well.
What about some of the bigger tech names, Microsoft or Meta?
Microsoft, MSFT, is showing signs of strong institutional accumulation. Support is around $470, $468, and $465. Resistance at $473, $475, and $480. A breakout past $473 could target $475, then $480. An entry near $470 on a dip with a stop below $465 could be a play.
And Meta?
Meta is showing consistent upward movement, mirroring broader tech sentiment. Support levels are $694, $690, and $685. Resistance at $700, $705, and $710. A steady rise towards $700 seems likely, potentially targeting $705 and then $710. An entry near $694 support with a stop below $690 could work.
You also mentioned EQIX and FICO as showing strong bullish signals in the $20 plus 20% plus weekly scan.
That's right. EQIX, Equinix, has strong bullish trends and increasing close prices with volume peaks. Support is around $914.43. Resistance starts at $917.39, with targets up to $920. An entry near that $914.43 support, with a stop around $912, looks interesting.
And FICO?
FICO has sustained upward momentum with high volumes. Support around $1,775.10. Resistance at $1,783, then $1,785, and potentially $1,790. An entry near $1,775.10, with a stop just below $1,769, could be considered for a swing.
Okay, those are some solid continuation ideas. What about anticipation setups? Stocks that might be coiling for a move?
Let's look at Palantir, PLTR. It's been gaining volume and showing steady performance. Support is tight around $127.44 to $127.53. Resistance levels are $127.69 up to $127.72. A breakout could target $128 and then $128.50. An entry in that $127.50 to $127.53 zone with a stop below $127.40 is one to watch.
Any others in that ant delay category, as you call them?
RXRX, Recursion Pharmaceuticals, has seen increased volume and is closing at higher prices. Support is around $5.50 to $5.54. Resistance at $5.57, $5.58, and $5.60. A test of $5.58 seems likely, with targets to $5.60 and then $5.65. Entry could be around $5.54 to $5.56, stop below $5.50.
And Joby? Joby Aviation?
Joby has seen steady price increases with substantial volume, support between $8.28 and $8.39. Resistance at $8.44, $8.45, and $8.49. A test of recent highs at $8.44 is expected, and a breakout could target $8.50, then $8.60. Entry around $8.34 to $8.39, with a stop below $8.28.
And from the SA Friday watch list, ASTS was an anticipation setup.
Correct. AST Space Mobile, ASTS, is one to keep on the radar for potential upside movement if it gets a catalyst or volume comes in.
All right. Let's hit some quick movers, upgrades, and downgrades. What stood out on the analyst front?
On the upgrade side, Deer DE was upgraded to buy at Melius with a $750 target. Invitation Homes, INVH, to buy at Citi, target $35. Mastech, MTZ, to buy at Goldman Sachs, target $168, and Sarepta, SRPT, to outperform at Scotiabank with an $80 target.
And the downgrades? We already touched on Lulu and Docu getting hit hard by those.
Yes, Lululemon saw about 12 downgrades, and DocuSign around 6. Elsewhere, CrowdStrike, CRWD, was downgraded to market perform at Bernstein, Target $371, and McDonald's, MCD, was moved to hold from buy at Loop Capital, Target $315.
Any other company-specific news that caught your eye?
A few things. Amazon, AMZN, gave undertakings to the UK's CMA to curb fake reviews and also reportedly won't grow its retail business hiring budget this year. Apple, AAP,